This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about communicating with people in lots and lots of locations. Of course, the way the world has gone over the past few months with the coronavirus pandemic has meant that a lot of people were used to working in office environments and maybe having clients come to them, people come to them, or they going to people. That's had to stop. And now even not just the client relationships are happening remotely, but also you're having to deal with your teams and your colleagues from lots of different locations. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how we've set up our communications and how these have sort of developed through the creation of SEO Hive. So back when we started our agency, my agency is an agency of 10 or 11 people. That is spread right throughout the UK. So two of us work in an office in Sheffield, two of us work in an office in Margate. But other than that, the rest of the team all work from home anyway. So we're kind of used to this remote working. And actually, the only difference we've found with people not coming to work is that clients have stopped coming to see us. And if any of you have seen me on video and you know that I have those wooden wardrobe doors behind me, they are actually the doors in our office. In the business center that we're part of. It's an old Victorian house and it's some built-in cupboards. But that's me at work. So throughout all of this, I've still been going down to the office, even though, my one other staff member hasn't that works with me. So we're kind of used to that. And then as we've launched SEO Hive, we've had to take these communications and put them on steroids, because all of a sudden now I'm not just dealing with a team that is based in the UK, but we're dealing with a team that's based in multiple time zones around the world, some ahead of me, some behind me, and we need to make sure that the delegation and reporting of tasks can happen correctly so that the whole thing keeps on moving. And the way that SEO Hive is built and structured is that not only does it keep on moving, but it can actually get quicker and more efficient as it goes along. And the communications all need to stand in line with that. So what I wanted to do today was just break that down. I'm not going to go into it in like granular detail, but break that down into the sort of overarching theme so that as you are having to deal with your teams and your clients throughout the world, as people are starting to come back to work, and in the UK we've had this sort of temporary furlough scheme going, that's starting to sort of wind up in the next few weeks. I was speaking to a PR lady that works upstairs, not PR lady, that's wrong, payroll lady that works upstairs. Anyway, I was talking to a lady that works upstairs, and she's got a massive list of clients that she works with. And she was saying that actually of all of her clients, sort of over 150, 200 clients, she's now only got 5 that are still using that furlough scheme. So slowly but surely, the world is starting to come to life. It's starting to come back to life in a new way. And those of us that can work online are finding that's going to become the new norm. So, you know, it might be that we never really go back to having all of our staff back in a tower block somewhere, an office block somewhere. It might be that we do embrace this sort of hybrid between work and working from home. But that's means that there's other considerations we need to put in place for our staff, for their well-being, because that means that their home, maybe even your home, has now become your office, and that's crossing a boundary. So anyway, I hope this sort of breakdown will be helpful. So largely, what we've done with our communications is we've broken them into 3 themes. So we have project management, we have client communications, and we have internal communications. Now, the first two go together, and we use a piece of software called ClickUp for that. And then the internal comms, we use Slack, and then we also use Zoom for our calls. So the reason that, if I just take those in reverse order for a minute, the reason that it is important to have a different channel for internal communications isn't that there's things that are said that we don't want clients to be party to, that we don't want clients to see. But at the end of the day, we're a team. We build relationship. We like to have jokes or in jokes that clients maybe wouldn't get, or that I don't want to see wouldn't sound professional, but just we're used to working in an environment together and having that water cooler chat, that chit chat, and as is everybody else. But that's a kind of private level of communication amongst our team. And whilst we work with clients on multiple levels, on different types of projects, running at different speeds in different ways, there's still an element of which, you know, I want to be able to talk to Neil about the F1. And I don't necessarily want a client to then start chipping in on that, because that's my conversation with him. That's the way we build our relationship. So that's why we have a different platform for internal communications. We do say some things about client projects in there. There are often messages like, hey, where's the artwork for this? Or, hey, where are we with that? Which again is not something that we necessarily want the client to be involved in, because when we present it to the client, we want it to be a unified, here, this is where we are. This is what we've done for you. And they don't need to be involved in our kind of to-ing and fro-ing about it. So yeah, we have Slack set up for our internal communications. And then client communications and project management, we put those both through ClickUp. So that means that all of our projects are listed in ClickUp. We have a space for all of our client work. Each client gets its own folder. Each job then gets its own list within that folder. And then within the list are the tasks that make up each individual part of the project. And they go through statuses. The statuses can change depending on what the type of project is, but largely that is open or to do, in progress, review, feedback if there is anything, and then complete ultimately. They're normally the sort of statuses that we go through. We then invite the clients into their own client folder as a guest on ClickUp. Now, this is one of the things that's really great about ClickUp. And I know there's loads of different project management tools out there. I was a big advocate of Basecamp for a long time. I did actually really like it, but it was their kind of pricing and the way that their multiple projects worked that made me move away from it. I've also worked at agencies where we've had our own project management systems and built our own stuff based on databases. But for our use case, ClickUp fits really well. So the client communications then also happen through ClickUp. Now, if you're an SEO Hive customer, that can happen in two ways. So one is that those there is communications on tasks. That's the way we do things in our agency, and we can tag people and assign things to people, even to clients, and make sure that things are moving along. The second thing, however, if you're an SEO Hive client, is that we then have a chat box in there. So ClickUp has its own chat applet, which means that you don't need a task to chat to us. That you can just spike up a conversation. A client sent me a message today about one of the reports they'd received, and largely it was because I suppose there wasn't really a task about the report. The report just landed in their inbox and they didn't really know where to put this thing, so they sent me a chat comment and it popped into my notifications. So the point there is that really, though, that all of our client communications are held within ClickUp, and the reason for that is we don't want stuff getting lost in email. Death by email is something that I desperately want to avoid, and I want you to avoid it too. Ultimately, though, it's about finding a system that works for you, as I've mentioned. And there is a bit of a learning curve when it comes to ClickUp. Some clients are a little bit resistant to it, but we have slowly but surely over time started to educate people, and now the majority of our comms happens that way. So the first thing is setting up your software, and they're the three things, as I said, that I would recommend you look at: project management, client communications, and internal communications. Once you've decided how you're going to manage those and which pieces of software you're going to use, you then need to make sure that you've set up your processes. So your processes are really important when you're working remotely, because you don't have that level of accountability of just shouting somebody at their desk or picking up the phone and dialing, you know, 501 and you know, then picking up at the other end. You are more remote. So the processes are important for sticking you all back together again and making sure that things happen in a seamless manner. It's really important that everybody knows what they're doing and when they're doing it. And it's also really important, and this is another reason why I like ClickUp, is because you can then set dependent tasks. So it's, as well as people knowing what they're doing and when they're doing it, it's really important for them to know what comes before them and what goes after them. So if something before them, ahead of them in the queue, is getting in a, is blocking them, is stopping them from getting on with their work, they need to be able to jump into that and find out what's going on and when they can expect it to be rectified. And likewise, moving on down the chain, they need to know what's coming after them. So if there's a particular format that a file needs to be in, or there's a particular way something needs to be done for XYZ reason, then that's coming up. So that's a really important thing. It's also really important that your project management system allows for these tasks to notify you when things change. Because a standard operating procedure is brilliant as long as it's followed in the order it's meant to be worked through. If something happens and an SOP can't be completed, that's when your project management software needs to come into its own, because it's at that point that you're going to lean on the software in order to help you rectify any issues. So having the notification set up properly is a really key thing. The next thing any good project management software needs to do is give you as the business owner full sight of your workflow right throughout your business. And again, this was one of the issues I had with Basecamp. I haven't used Basecamp in a number of years, so it may have changed. Please don't take this as an episode where I'm knocking Basecamp in terms of ClickUp. I'm simply saying that this was one of the issues I had with it when I did use it, was that I could see everything at project level, but I couldn't then take one step further back to see everything at business level. And for me, being able to understand where projects are, to maybe see where potential roadblocks are going to happen, ultimately to see how the cash is moving through the business, that's a really key part of what allows me to sleep at night, so that I can know that, you know, this project is due to be finished on XYZ date, that this invoice is going to be going out there, that invoice is going to be going out somewhere else. And that I know that when the finances aren't reliant on automated payments, I've got extra sight and extra control right from the outset of where that money is coming and flowing from. The next question, though, you need to ask with your SOPs is, people get very bogged down in operating procedures that they are very much about, solely about, the operations of the agency. And that's fine until you need to assign a task to a client. And this is where, again, ClickUp works really well for us, because we can invite clients in and we can then assign tasks to them. So as we're setting up our procedures for each new project, anything that's dependent on the client gets assigned to them. And again, a dependency can be put. So maybe somebody in our team is waiting on something from them. But actually then just having the system jump up and down and shout at them saying, this task is due in 4 days. This task is due in 3 days. This task is due in 2 days. This task is due today. This task is now overdue. It's not necessarily the type of communication that's actually going to help them to complete the task for you. So if you're working remotely, you maybe need to think about how you educate your clients or train your clients in completing the tasks. So it might be that if you're building a website for somebody and you're expecting the copy to be provided, that you then have a workflow that runs 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the copy deadline that shows them how to use your copy creation software, copy collating software. It might be Content Snare, it might be Gather Content, it might just even be Google Docs. But you're already training them and equipping them so that when they get to that task, when they get to that point where you are reliant on something from them, it's going to come across to you in a timely fashion and in the right format. And that's really, really important. You can't expect clients to second guess how you want something. They are not the expert in your process. You are. And that sometimes means you need to step back from your process and put additional processes in that are simply there to educate people. The final point on this is, one of the biggest objections I come across to anybody talking about SOPs is that they don't want to be hemmed in by them, that they can't figure it out, that they don't have the time to do it, that it seems like useless work, that they only work for themselves anyway, so what's the point in having an SOP? They're kind of the biggest concerns. And the thing I would say to you is it can seem a bit like a sledgehammer to crack a nut if you're just on your own. But the key to an SOP is making sure that nothing gets forgotten, that things happen in an efficient manner, and that if you need to, you can get additional support at the right time when you need it, and you can simply use those SOPs to guide your new staff or additional support through that. That could be a VA, it could be a member of staff, it could be anything. So for that reason, even if you're on your own, a standard operating procedure for the key functions of your business, the key parts that make your business tick, at a very minimum, is a really good idea. So once, just to recap on this episode so far, we've sorted out our software for project management, client communications, and internal comms. And once we've identified what those bits of software are and we've thought about how we're going to use them, we've then put our processes in place. And it then means by doing that, you can then look at your processes and say, right, will these processes fit into that software? And then you've got two options. You either have to replace a piece of software, or you might have to tweak an SOP a little bit in order to fit it into the software that you've chosen. The point is, though, that by the end of that, just going through that process, you're in a place where you've got the tools in place and you've got the processes in place, and you can start flying with this thing. The very final point that I want to make in this show is the importance of keeping your team communications going even from a distance. And this is partly why that internal team communications platform is so important. The thing is, though, with team communications is that it's only when you're not physically present with somebody and your working conditions change with them that you realize how many other levels you used to connect with people on. Like I mentioned with Neil about the Formula One, we're both F1 fans. We've both been missing it this year. A lot of the talk this year has been about, oh, it should have been the Monaco Grand Prix this weekend or whatever. Have you heard about this going on in this team? Rather than the actual races. And the races are coming back soon, which is absolutely brilliant. It gives us something else to talk about. But not being in the same working environment as Neil could have meant that then those discussions don't really happen. And what then happens is all communications simply boil down to work. And in terms of building your relationships and just being a human being in the workplace, that's not a great place to be. So firstly, make sure that all of your team communications aren't about work. And that's why having a completely separate channel where you can just talk crap and, whinge and vent and crack jokes and, talk about the news, the weather, whatever it might be, is so vitally important for your team morale. The second thing is, in our agency and in SEO Hive, we have a scheduled weekly catch-up. So every week we will have a meeting that happens on Zoom, and it will be about all of the projects that are going through the business at that time so that we can get that weekly catch up. When we've worked in an office together, I've run something called a red list meeting. I've also had a bacon meeting, and that's where bacon sandwiches turn up. But basically we're trying to replicate that a little bit online. So everybody will grab a coffee. It's at a set time on a set day each week. It'll start with a bit of chit chat. Then we'll get down to business, sort the priorities out and get on with work. It takes no more than 45 minutes to an hour, but it's a regular check-in where anybody can raise any issues with any project. If there's any internal dependencies that we're working on, if somebody needs something from a client, somebody's off on holiday or going off next week, we can talk about it, whatever it might be. Holidays haven't really happened in the lockdown, I'll be frank with you. But in our general operation, that's something that would come through. You also need to respect when it is work time and when it isn't. And I mean that both for yourself and for your staff or clients. So because people are working from their home environments, sitting down and doing 6, 7, 8 hours of work a day, where, if you were working the standard Monday to Friday 9 to 5, that may not happen anymore. It might be 3 or 4 hours in the morning, then a couple of hours in the afternoon, maybe an hour at night. So now, just because you're doing that doesn't mean that the rest of your team are doing that. Or just because you're not doing that and you are managing to stick to more regular hours, you can't necessarily get frustrated by sending a message to somebody who might be at home with their kids and and you know they don't reply straight away. So you need to respect people's boundaries a little bit more. But because of that, you also need to respect your own boundaries a little bit more. And one of the things that I really struggled with was the amount of notifications that I got from all these different bits of software, frankly. You know, every time there's a due date, I'm getting an email about it. Every time somebody leaves a comment, I'm getting an email about it. Every time somebody tags me on Slack, I get a notification about it. So it's been really, really important for me to schedule when those notifications can and can't come out of the software. It's also meant that I've done things like removed work email from my phone so that when I'm at home, I don't get any of those email notifications. That, so when I switch on the computer and I'm intentionally back at work, then I can start going through the emails and I have set times of the day that I do that. So you might need to... This respect thing works two ways. That's really the point I'm trying to make. You need to respect the fact that other people's working schedules may differ from yours, and that's absolutely fine. But you also need to respect the fact that you need time when you're not working. So that means you need to be able to close yourself off from communication at that point as well. And with this whole general love-in that we're talking about, people won't mind if you don't, you know, don't reply until tomorrow if they contact you in the evening or whatever, because that you were just having your personal time. You were being the family person that you are. The very, very final point, I realize I said final point twice now, but the very, very final point in all of this is that you need to be able to work with people that you trust, particularly on your internal teams, because in this weird setup that we're now in, that is looking like in some guys it's going to be around for a while, you need to be able to trust that the work will be done, that people are going to do what they say they're going to do. And likewise, you then need to be able to talk about any issues as soon as they arise so that as a team, you can accommodate them and adapt. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's, you know, there's no problem if you're going to hit an issue, but it's far better for that issue to be raised before it's a major problem rather than brushing it under the carpet and then all of a sudden the world implodes because that issue wasn't raised soon enough. So it's about creating that level of trust. That's a level of maybe a deeper level of trust that you have with your own team to make sure that the work gets done. Also means that if you see that somebody's maybe off the radar for a day or two, or their new working patterns change, might be worth just shooting them a message to see if they're okay, see what's going on, see if they're having an issue at home, or whether they're not feeling very well, or whatever it might be. So all of that stuff that you would pick up at work, but because stuff's changed, you might miss. So you have a level of trust with them, and then you need to build this level of trust, including this extra element of education and guidance with your clients, so that your machine can keep on running nice and smoothly. Now, I suppose this episode's become a lot more about project management than I initially intended. It was really about how to communicate with people in lots of locations. I hope that you found it useful. If you've got any questions at all, please drop into our Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast, and we'd love to see you in there and have a discussion about it. My name's been Pete Everett, and I will see you next week.